Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church on this beautiful day. Finally, we see the sun. My name is John Gentry. It's my pleasure to serve as your liturgist today, and it's certainly my honor to welcome each and every one of you. We have a lot of visitors for this special day, and we appreciate you coming. We'd love to see you again soon. We have a couple of announcements to make. Obviously, most of you should know that this is Pastor Mary's last day, and we're here to celebrate that. After 40 years of ordained ministry, she's retiring, and as Baker says, see you later. I thought that was better than goodbye. So we love her, and obviously we'll miss her. We wish her and Tony the very, very best. Also, after, if you missed the earlier reception, you didn't get an opportunity to make that, please take the opportunity following this service to say thank you to her and Tony and wish them well. One other announcement, we have several announcements, and just to save time, if you'll just check them in your bulletin, they're all listed. There's a lot of important things coming up in the church in the next week and month. Also, we want to recognize Miss Laura Stinnett, our Director of Children's Ministries. She is just awesome, and she would like to express her sincere gratitude to everyone who volunteered to help out at Vacation Bible School this past week. So, with further ado, I invite you to meet and greet and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who join us in the hymn of praise, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, on page 384.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, and it's on page 881 or in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall call to judge to the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now Caleb Conrad will come to make a special presentation for the Bibles, the Vacation Bible School kids.
Good morning. First of all, thank you. You'll see it in your bulletins and the announcements. Thank you to everyone who helped with Vacation Bible School, to those who decorated, to those who came and volunteered as, cadets. I forgot what we were calling them, on the spaceship. But thank you, everyone who made it possible. It was a great week with equally great and amazing kids. I was lucky enough to teach them music and dance. I can't dance, but I tried. And we talked a little bit about why we sing in church and what worshiping is and why we do it. Because it's important to always have that sort of at the forefront when you're singing. You know, why are we singing? So we talked a little bit about that. But then we got down to Boogie. So, if you were a kid that I was lucky enough to hang out with this week at Vacation Bible School, please come forward and let's show everyone what we worked on. So we learned three songs this week, and we're going to do one called I Love Making Music. And in this song, not only do we sing, but we dance, we stomp, and we clap. Y'all aren't ready for this. We'll be right back. Not only are they talented, but there's a lot of energy and I'm out of shape. That's what I learned this week. So if you weren't at VBS this week and we have more children here, we're going to ask them to come forward at this time because Pastor Mary is going to do her final children's moments here at Asbury. So come on forward at this time.
Good morning, and thank you for that beautiful music. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the ministries that you have brought to this church in the 7 years that I have been here. I see some of you that I have baptized. I see some of you who I've just enjoyed so much, either watching you beautifully light the candles on Sundays or either to sing for us on many occasions. So I want to thank you for that. I also want to remind you that a song in your heart is a really important thing to have. And that's not always just about singing. Sometimes it's about having that smile comes forward or that gift to someone and just being with them when they need a friend. And there's a wonderful psalm, Psalm 96, and the first line of that psalm in the Bible is, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." And so I think that that's the opportunity we have every day to just sing to the Lord and be joyful in how we live. Even if you feel like you're having kind of a not the best day, just remember how much Jesus loves you and it's going to be all right, okay? And that's that song in your heart knowing about Jesus. Yesterday afternoon, my family and I made you a little something for each of you to have, as we have more than we had the first service, but we had a lot. I'm hoping to have enough. If I don't, there's cake out there left over from the reception. But what I tried to do was make enough, and we tried to make a musical note. Some of these musical notes look like whales or fish, but anyway, they're supposed to be musical notes. So I'm going to give you each one, but let me have a prayer. Our God and our Father, we are reminded by your Son, Jesus Christ, that we approach our faith as a child, with childlike faith, to be eager to learn, eager to share, eager to love. And so, Father, bless these children. Thank you for the many ways they have taught me over these 7 years and my endeavor to try to share with them. So, God, we just pray that you will lead us and guide us always, that we might all be faithful and being children of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's see how we do on this. If you all got one first service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are about to hear a message from John Purifoy, childhood friend of Pastor Mary and well-known composer in the music industry, sharing about today's act of praise. This anthem was commissioned and paid for by anonymous donors and belongs to Asbury Methodist to enjoy for many years to come.
I love you too, sweetheart. Thank you.
Hello, Mary, Asbury United Methodist Church, Diana Choir, congregation. Mary, many congratulations and blessings to you on this grand day after 40 years of ministry. I am so honored to have been able to compose Trust in the Lord with the scriptures you provided. I wish I could be there in person, but I am with you in spirit. This boy from Camden, helping to honor this girl from Camden who had the same music teacher, Sally Graves, and many others. Joy be with you and peace. in the words of Paul from Philippians 4. And remember, as Charles and John Wesley instructed, sing heartily.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, please check the prayer list in your bulletin and keep those in your thoughts and prayers this week. Let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today in your house to honor and praise you with song, with prayers, and with the teaching of your holy word. May we all say and do this morning as your children bring joy to you. Lord, we come before you today with sadness in our hearts. Our pastor, our spiritual leader, and our friend will be leaving us. We have looked to her over these past several years to guide and direct this church in accordance with your word. She will be missed, but she will always be in our hearts. We pray for her as she moves into retirement, and we look forward to worshiping with our friend in the future. Father, we pray your blessings on Pastor Mary and Tony today. Loving God, we also ask your blessings and peace upon those who have been affected by the floods this week. Use us as your vessels to help and bless those in need in whatever manner you so direct. May we be willing to listen to your Spirit, and may your kingdom grow through the actions of your children. We pray all this in the name of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Heavenly Father, you have given us so much, and we only ask us to return just a small portion. Your prayer is that you accept these tithes and gifts. We give in joy and bless them to grow your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. 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 I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Blessed Assurance, on page 369.
Before I sing this next one, I just wanted to say how it's odd because I'm very sad that Pastor Mary is leaving, and I've been here for a year, and she's been with you all for much longer than that, for 7 years. So over this last year, Pastor Mary has helped me professionally and personally and in many other ways, and for that I'm very thankful. And I'm no John Purifoy, that is true, but I wanted to write a little something that was derived from our conversations together. She said I could not entitle the song Conversations, because that's her sermon title, so I had to get a little creative, but she talks about conversations today, and it's a wonderful message, and so this is kind of about that. I don't want to ruin her message, but this is called Heal Me. I
fall on my knees and call his name. When I'm joyous and happy, or when I'm lost and afraid, I know I'll break free of judgment and shame. Because I'm safe within his love, I'm always safe. When I talk to others, I want his love to shine. He's used those very moments to shape me through my life, through conversations with my mother and my children and my neighbors, on the phone with friends or randomly with strangers. He's my savior. He has all the power to heal the nations, but he chooses to heal me through conversations. I saw his love and strength when I talked to my grandmother, who lived out her faith and is still by my side. I've seen him opening many doors and closing others through the people he brought into my life. And when I talk to them, oh, I want his love to shine. He's used those very moments to shape me through my life, through conversations with my mother and my children and my neighbors, on the phone with friends or randomly with strangers. He's my savior. He has all the power to heal the nations, but he heals me through. That don't mean I don't go through pain. That don't make life easy. But I know I can talk to him, and he'll always hear me. In the good times and the bad, I will lift my hands in praise. I'll walk the path he set for me. He guides me along the way through conversations with my mother and my children and my neighbors, on the phone with friends or randomly with strangers. He's my savior. He has all the power to heal the nations, but he heals me through conversations.
Amen. God is giving us a conversation through his word this morning. My favorite psalm. It's my last Sunday. I get to pick my favorite psalm. Psalm 8 has always spoken to me in its simplicity, but its direct message. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we find it in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouth of babes and infants. Thou hast founded a bulwark because of thy foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little less than God, and dost crown him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Morning, Asbury family and friends. I am having a bit of a surreal moment here because it is my last message to share with you, and there's no words to really describe that. And as I look out and see you all, friends and people from former places where I served, and I'm going to list them because there apparently was an omission before. Junction City, roll call, they've been here. Stevens, they are here. England and Keogh, they are here. Maumelle, they are here. Lakeside, they are here. Carr, they are here. St. Paul, Searcy, they are here. And Charleston may have gotten the longest award for the farthest traveling. They were here this morning. And you all, my beloved Asbury family that has been our fabulous church home for 7 years. God love you all and God bless you all. I did entitle the message Conversations today because all of us have in our faith those conversations that brought about significant points in our life, turning points, great times and impressions. And so I think about the life-changing conversations that happened to significant characters in our own faith saga, our own faith history. Conversations by God to his leaders, Abraham. I will number your descendants like the grains of sand on the seashore. Moses, tell them I am sent you because I am who I am. Esther by Mordecai, how do you know that you were not placed in this position for the purpose of saving your people? Mary, you have found favor with God and you will bear a son and he will be called Jesus and he will be the Son of the Most High. The disciples about Christ, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Paul, why do you persecute me? Now go and I will tell you what to do. All of these significant people, don't you see, in their faith journey, had a new beginning because of a conversation. And as I think back over my life and you think back over your lives, I bet you can say the same. You were inspired, you were lifted, you were connected to God through a conversation. So as a child, we're taught to talk to God. Deuteronomy 6:6 is where our parents and their parents and their parents and their parents knew to do this. Deuteronomy 6:6, impress upon your children my commands, teach them in your home, when you walk and when you rise. This talk or prayer is something significant to us, and we are taught to do this, to have a conversation with someone we have never seen, to have a conversation with someone that we must trust and that we become to know more deeply in our heart. And as we grow older, we learn we're not so good and we need to be forgiven. And God has supplied that intercessory for us through the Holy Spirit. And God has supplied that Savior in Jesus Christ that we bear our soul of our shortcomings, of our poor thoughts. And these conversations are crucial to everything, if you think about it. These conversations with God develop your character. These conversations with God cleanse your heart. These conversations with God connect you deeply to someone greater than yourself and greater than anyone that you will ever know, because you need that and God knows you need it. And God gave us the gift of prayer. And it changes our life, helps us determine our choices and decisions. So as I look back on my life, I'm sharing with you this morning my witness of my life because of conversations. Conversations which took me to unknown territory, usually uncomfortable territory, every single time, but exactly familiar territory for God because it was his will. So here's the scripture, if you know it, say it with me, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, Mary, and put in your name, for all those who love the Lord
They're called according to his purpose, and that's each and every one of us. For instance, it all began 9 months before June 2nd, 1957, with a conversation that my late uncle, Dr. J.L. Dedman Jr., had with my mother. "Sis, are you sitting down?" My 40-year-old mother, I'm sure, sat down, bracing for the worst. But instead, with the news, she told me later, to the point when I could understand it, that she giggled all day long. And my dad, he went into a coma. Conversations with my Granny Dedman. How blessed I was that we lived right next door to each other. And those conversations shaped this little girl with Christian character and desire to become closer to my Lord. Being the only living grandparent I had ever known, she shared with me with enthusiasm about Granddaddy's life as a Methodist preacher. And she made it seem so warm and wonderful. And I don't know if over the decades we have made it more complicated, or they become more difficult, or my sweet dear grandmother left something out. But then I was about to graduate from high school. And money was tight, and I didn't really know how I was going to go to college. Enter another conversation with my dear high school friend, Michelle Campbell Mann. She began to tell me that she had received a letter from a Methodist private college in Shreveport, Louisiana, and that I might want to check it out, that they were offering a tuition-free scholarship for anyone that wanted to go into a career in the church, and that to work off your scholarship, you just worked 8 hours whenever you could during your school week, arranged around your classes, of course, and basically worked off that tuition. That conversation changed my life. Philippians 4:19, God's promise, claim it. God shall supply your need, your every need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I just didn't know what that meant. Enter the next conversation with one of my professors in the church career program I was in and teaching me in Christian education courses, Dr. Donald Emler. He said and encouraged me that I should go as far as I could in my education journey while I was unattached and actually pursue to become a minister of education, that would be a greater advantage for me in my journey. And of course, that decision should involve a student loan, more schooling, more debt, but I was single and dumb, and I went for it. And God would change those two things about me, being single and being dumb. Following college, of course, to be a minister of anything, you had to go to seminary and then would be followed by ordination. And the journey would begin with becoming licensed to preach in 1979 by my Camden District Superintendent, Dr. Alvin C. Murray, who passed away a couple of decades ago. And I find it, again, an irony of life that Dr. Murray began my ministry journey, and just a few short weeks ago, I buried his sweet wife, Mary Ellen Murray, as one of the last things I have done in my ministry here. While in seminary, I worked really hard at various jobs to keep financially afloat. Again, God supplied. A serious relationship dissolved. I had a conversation with God, and I said, "Listen here, Lord. I said, I don't care if the next guy looks like a dog. If he treats me like a queen, I'm taking him." And I mean, look at him. He doesn't look like a dog at all. Classes were hard, and I was becoming discouraged. Once again, God spoke to me, this time in the Psalms 143:10. "Teach me to do your will. Let your spirit lead me on level ground.
You need that scripture. Again, 143:10. If you feel like you're going this away and you need to go this away, God's going to keep you this away. In my second year, it was time to schedule my internship. I would be a student pastor. I talked to a classmate named John Allen. We had had several classes together in seminary. And it just so happened that John was just coming off of his internship and back in his coursework. And it was just so happened that about that time, I was being assigned an internship. And it happened to be the same internship in Arkansas in which John had served, Lakeside United Methodist Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He had made a friend while he was there. He had been single. This fellow was single. And he said with a wink in his eye, "You need to meet him." His name was Tony. This conversation with John would be a game changer. The first words out of my mouth when I met Tony was, "Oh, you're the Tony that John Allen warned me about." I was introduced to the church in January because that's when I was going to start my internship. And a few weeks later, as God would know, but none of the rest of us did, the senior pastor was transferred mid-year to another appointment at Wichita Falls, Texas. My internship was canceled, so I went back to seminary, but not before I hadn't met some people in the congregation and gone to lunch with some of them and connected with one particular guy who said, "Hey, if you're ever back in Arkansas, look me up." Can't you just see him kind of suave and single saying that to me? Well, I was back in Arkansas, and I did look him up. Pretty important conversation, and we struck up a dating relationship long distance while I went back to Dallas to finish coursework. That summer, I needed a financial break, went back to my hometown of Camden, and was asked to serve as a summer youth time director there to the youth, and that was under the late Reverend Charles Ashcraft. Well, Charles Ashcraft was buddies with another reverend, the late John Lindsay in Pine Bluff, and he happened to be looking for a full-time youth minister. I found out about this job, interviewed for it, I accepted the position. Tony and I dated, were engaged at Christmas, and as the result of two scheming pastors, we got married. Bishop Kenneth Hicks, my all-time favorite bishop, went out on a limb and contacted SMU, the Dean of Perkins School of Theology, and told them that I was a newlywed and to see if we could somehow have me do my coursework first and then do the internship later so I wouldn't be moving each year, those two consecutive years. Well, following that conversation that was arranged, and I told Tony in the second year of our marriage, "You know, I told you I want to finish my master's." He said, "How are you going to do that?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to commute." And he said, "From Pine Bluff?" I said, "Yeah." "To Dallas?" I said, "Yes." And so we got me a 1983 Buick Century with a diesel engine in it. After my first speeding ticket in Hooks, Texas, where they took all my cash on me to eat on with the week, Tony decided he better do something about that, and he got me a CB radio. Now, it was during those six-hour commutes, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was on Channel 19 because everybody was kind of talking on that, and there was some talk on there I didn't need to hear. And so I kind of chimed in there because I had come up with what I thought was a clever handle, Preacher Lady. So I worked on how I was going to say this to get their attention. And in my most, shall we say, feminine voice, I said, "Hey, you got the number one Preacher Lady out here. How's it looking over your shoulder to the big D?" "Oh, Preacher Lady, well, let me tell you, watch that smoky down there at Mile Marker." So I decided I had started a new ministry right then and there, an interstate evangelism ministry. Well, God's word does say in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up love in one another and to do good work. So he didn't say how we had to do it. He said, just do it. I'm pretty sure that I converted Mississippi Mudman. And I think I came really close to the Louisiana parking lot. You'll have to read my book I'm working on for the rest of the story. First Church was my student internship, and also found out I was expecting our first daughter, Katie. Found out that expecting a child for the first time and pastoring a church for the first time was probably a bit much. And sure enough, I did get sick the last 6 weeks of my pregnancy. And following the internship, Tony and I waited for 2.5 years to be appointed. 2.5 years to be appointed by a male senior pastor, because that's all they were male, for an associate position in Christian education as a female pastor. And it always, I watched it, I saw it. It kept going to males. And so Tony and I just got down on our knees and we started praying. Said, Lord, I feel like a doctor without a practice. I mean, I've got all my credentials. But it's been so long, Lord. I don't understand why you're not using me. I don't understand. So while we waited, we had little girl number two, Kara. Well, one afternoon, after 2.5 years had passed, the phone rang. Another life-changing conversation. You remember what phones looked like before they were in your hand? So I grabbed the phone with the earpiece like this and the crook of my neck to my shoulder with Kara, who was 6 months on one hip, and Katie, who was 2.5 on the other hip. I said, hello, Mary Susan. We've had a blow up in one of our churches and wondered if you'd be willing to serve, since you're the only seminary graduate out right now without an appointment. You'd be preaching at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. Now, if Tony and I hadn't just prayed that prayer 3 weeks earlier, I'd have laughed at this phone call. Psalm 55:22 was a conversation from God at that point that says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Well, okay. After all, how could I pass up to an angry split church with two other churches tagged along to it, preaching 3 times a day with 2 little ones, knowing that they didn't want a woman? I was filling their requirement of a seminary grad. So another of God's ironies. That first sermon I preached was after God had been working on me those 2.5 years, humbling me, preparing me for what I didn't know, but what God knew. And my enthusiasm for the Lord and my new opportunity, of which I didn't know anything about how to do, really, was entitled Touch by the Spirit. It's out there on the memorabilia table. You'll recognize it because it's yellowed over age. Again, an irony of life. Touched by the Spirit was my first sermon. My last sermon is on the birth of the church Sunday, Pentecost, when we recognize the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Each appointment thereafter, I was sent by God to serve and did so with energy, enthusiasm, listening, and growing. And it's been a marvelous 40-year journey since I was licensed back in 1979. I look out and I see your faces. I remember our times together. I recall our stories and our pain and our great deep joy. So many souls, so many times. The conversation with DES, the District Superintendent Charlie Settle in 2012, landed me here. He said, I'm going to appoint you to a church that will appreciate your leadership and your skills. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what that meant. But God did, in a conversation recorded in his prophet, Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. For I know the plans I have for you, to prosper and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so 7 years later, my Asbury family, we brought in 191 members in 7 years. 36 were confirmands. We held 68 baptisms, and 5 were in one Sunday. I've never done that before. Many of those baptisms, quite frankly, were adult professions of faith. We transferred to the church triumphant and the communion of saints 67 souls. And I was personally honored to perform 8 marriages. You haven't been just my pastoral church family. You've been a part of our family. We've got a big family. Look around, children. You've encouraged me to lead. You prayed me through cancer. You celebrated in the marriage of a daughter. And you celebrated in welcoming with us these 2 precious grandchildren that are here on their Emmys last Sunday here at Asbury. You cried with us as we buried Tony's mother, Joe's mother, Richard's aunt. You've heard endless silly stories. And Tony and you have put up with me picking on him from the choir loft. As one of the early 10 women in Arkansas to become United Methodist clergy, I had to carve a way to be the first woman in the Little Rock Conference to figure out how to be a preacher full-time and a mother full-time. None of the other women were in my situation. They were single, divorced, or didn't have children. One bishop said to me, "Mary Susan, don't try to climb the ladder. You're a wife and a mother." That annoyed me. But you know what? He was right. Not about I shouldn't try to excel and be strong as a preacher and a wife and a mother. But what he was saying that he didn't know he was saying was I didn't need to think about that. Because God is good and God's plan will be done. It's called His will. Because God is good and God's plan unfolded in my life and put me exactly where I was supposed to be at the exact time I was supposed to be there. That I know. So that's my witness to you today as I share with you this tapestry I did back in college getting over one of those relationships. I stuck that needle in there 100 times. And I failed to do this in the first service, but just very quickly. That seemed to be the favorite robe I wore in every pastorate. I called it my Josephine robe because it has a lot of colors on it. And in the Cokesbury catalog, it was called patches. Whatever. And then one time in one church, which will go unnamed, I was having a particularly difficult time. And I don't know if it was the voice of God or the voice of Granddaddy, whom I never met. He died 2 years before I was born. And I just said, "What should I do?" And as clear as I'm speaking to you, I heard the voice say, "You go to the Book of Discipline, but first you go to the Holy Word." And I've done that every single place I've served. And that counsel from God, I guess, has truly served me well. Cleaning out my office. Wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. John Wesley, John Purefoy, spoke his name earlier about sing hardly. On this Pentecost Sunday, when we think about the Holy Spirit and how it must dwell in us to be an effective Christian, must dwell in us, I think about what John Wesley said. He said, catch on fire with enthusiasm and spirit, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Isn't that great? So hold that spirit. Kindle that spirit with the Word of God, with Christian fellowship, with a song in your heart as I shared with the children. Hold that spirit and let it burn. So cleaning out my office, I found a folder that my Granny Deadman had saved of Granddaddy's sermons. And Granny had passed it on to my mother, who passed it on to me. As I was flipping through them, one particular message really caught my eye, and I wanted to share these words from your former pastor of 1928. You have busy lives. Christ is in every crowded street, every bed of pain, every broken heart, and every wronged human being. He is just waiting at the door of your life to be let in so that he might show you how to give and live joyously. We part from this pastor-congregation relationship, but never from our friendship. Please know that as Tony and I travel the state to go to his father's former pastorates and to the ones that we have served, which we counted, that's 37 churches. We're going to be a little busy. That we will keep you in our hearts and our prayers always. And in the words of Jesus, our Savior, go make disciples in all the world. And I'm going to suggest and witness to you today to do that one conversation at a time. I love you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let us join in this litany of farewell and retirement. You may be seated. I thank you, members and friends of Asbury United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have given me and for the rich spiritual experiences we have shared. Let us pray. Eternal God, we will give you thanks for the cherished moments and commend one another into your care. As we move in new directions, keep us one in your love forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As John Wesley said, we need to stand and sing with enthusiasm our hymn of commitment, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And if anybody would like to unite with this church, come on forward so I can do it my last Sunday. Let's be standing.
Oh,
I'd like to make a presentation to John Gentry. John, these keys have been entrusted to me for 7 years. I've kept them in good faith. I release them to you. It is well with my soul. It is well with our souls because the Lord is so good and the Lord loves you so much. So on this Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the Spirit of the living God, go forward in that Spirit and share it in your unique way with your unique gifts that God has given you, and share that Spirit that it may burn and people come miles to watch you. And let us go in the love of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.